Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call to order the June 20th meeting, Vertee County Board of Commissioners. Delighted to have all of you here. I think we're going to have a very good meeting. Things on here that I'm sure that are going to interest you. That's why you're here. So we look forward to it. As always, we want to open up the meeting with a roll call, starting with
Commissioner Robinson, present.
Mr. Trent, present.
Ron Wesson, present.
Michael White, present.
Corey Balance, present.
Great, thank you. We have a full board here, obviously a quorum. So I'd like to ask Commissioner Trent to lead us an invocation and the pledge of allegiance.
And we do have a minister in the office in the meeting tonight, Mr. Ray. Could you leave us an invocation, please, sir? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much for that invocation, and thank you for joining us in the Pledge of Allegiance. As always, ladies and gentlemen, one of the first things we do when we open our meeting is to open it for public comments. That means any citizen here can come before us and make a comment. We ask you to give your name, give your address, and limit your comment to 3 minutes. Now, as you always know, at the end of our meeting, there's another public comment section. So if anything that you hear during the course of the meeting that, you know, you didn't think of in the beginning, and always come back at the end. So with that, let me open up for public comments. Anyone will please come to the podium. None? Shonda, do we have anyone on the phone? Okay, great. Well, remember, you have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. That's always good. Great. So we're going to go now to the appointments and reports section of our agenda. We're going to go to the public hearing for the proposed Vertee County Fire Protection Service District. Now, what I'd like to do is, Mitch has a sign-up sheet, right? So if you're interested in speaking concerning the fire tax, you know, we've had a lot of publicity about it. It's been in the paper, been at other meetings. Sign up if you'd like to speak. Now, I'm going to leave that sign-up period open until after David Scarborough, Assistant County Manager, is going to introduce the whole fire tax concept to us. And so you'll be able to sign up now or until he finishes. But I do want to let you know that I'm going to cut it off when he finishes. Okay? Everybody clear? Mitch has a sign up sheet. All right. With that, David, thank you, sir. It is.
I'm going to go ahead and read this because I want to make sure that there's no. Did I get everything, Mitch? If I miss anything, let me know, please. Vertee County Court of Commissioners has addressed increasing the cost of providing fire and rescue services within Vertee County by creating a fire protection service district as the primary funding structure for the fire protection service delivery system in the unincorporated areas of Vertee County. The service district will enable essential funding for the provision of fire and rescue services and shall be referred to as the Vertee County Fire Protection Service District. At the written request through adoption of the individual municipal resolutions from the towns of Askeville, Allander, Coleraine, Kelford, Lewiston, Woodville, Powellsville, and Roxabelle, the municipal boundaries of these seven towns are also being considered as integral components of the proposed Vertee County Fire Protection Service District. Consistent with North Carolina General Statutes, the Vertee County Board of Commissioners are here tonight to hold a public hearing to consider the adoption of the Fire Protection Service District for Vertee County. Berkeley County has addressed the normal, the North Carolina General Statute 153A302 that requires Berkeley County to complete a written report prior to the Berkeley County Court of Commissioners holding a public hearing to consider adoption of the Unified Service District. The report contains a map of the proposed district showing its boundaries, proposed boundaries, a statement showing that the proposed district meets the standards set out in subsection A of North Carolina General Statute 153A302, a plan for providing one or more of the services listed in the statute, which in this case is the fire detection. This report has been available for the public in the clerk's office. The Board of Commissioners again have called this hearing to consider the establishment of a single unified fire protection district for all unincorporated areas of Berkeley County consistent with North Carolina General Statutes, and have given notice that if adopted, property taxes within the new proposed Berkeley County Protection Service District will not exceed 15 cents on each $100 of property subject to taxation. It's been recommended by county administration the proposed tax be 3.762 cents per 100 of property subject to taxation. Each cent will produce $95,691, and this rate will achieve the current distribution of $360,000 to the unincorporated areas of Berkeley County for fire protection services. While the town of Windsor elected not to participate in the fire protection service district, approximately 55% of the tax base that Windsor protects is in the county. It is and 45% of the base is in the county. It's recommended that Berkeley County continue to fund $16,500 from the County Fire Protection Service and 14,500 out of the county general fund in order to promote equity and maintain the positive work environment that exists throughout the county. I thank you for your time on this and your attention. Before we start the public hearing, though, I would like to take a moment to thank all the volunteer fire services, the local and county commissioners, and all of Berkeley County staff, specifically Mitch and his staff, that have helped us get to this point, as well as the work of Gregory Grayson and his staff at North Carolina Fire Chief Consultant.
Thank you, David. I also want to give you a lot of credit. You've been working with this county as well. Thank you very much. Before we open it up, just to any kind of comments from the citizens, some things should happen. Now, we've considered this for a while, and we are the only county in the state of North Carolina. We have no history. We are 100 counties in the state of North Carolina. We are the last one to be put in place in 5 years. All 99 of the 100 have that in place. So we are the last. There's a lot of reasons why it's in place. So I want to open up the floor for any citizens who would like to comment on the question, but you're also in on your agenda that later in our agenda there will be a special area for under special agenda 2. The commissioners will have additional time for discussion by myself for you to answer any additional questions that might come from you. So with that, close open to anyone who'd like to make a comment about the project. None. I'll make one more comment about it, and then we'll go over that. The great thing about the project is it moved it out of ad valorem type of taxes and set aside a separate element so citizens can decide the degree of fire protection services that they require without having to go to court back. And one other thing that I like about it, I'm still talking to my wife about it. So right now, if you're a fire department, we get a $30,000, you can't run a fire department. Right? The fire department is selling dinners, raising money, and doing all kinds of things. Well, a lot of citizens participate in that, right? Buy dinners, give money, make contributions. Everybody does, right? Everybody gets sponsored. So this contract is created among everybody, because everybody pays their fair share. But they should, in order to get the kind of service. Having a district of different kind of action. So,
everybody got that standard. Yeah, he's been beating around for a while. We think this is a real good step. Okay. Thank you very much. Now to board appointments, and we don't have any board appointments. I was just the citizens that the list of boards always on our site. If you are interested in serving on any board, since qualified for, you don't have to wait for somebody here to ask you a nomination. Put your own name in. Fill out the little application, get it out there, and opening comes up, the contact is consider you for it. We need, you know, folks who are interested, willing to work for the planning board or any, all the different boards here. Good minute. Find your interest. Give us a little time to help us try to improve the process. All right. Now, on the consent agenda, I want to take a couple of these together, but I want to take some singular. So the first one is to approve the registered deeds report for May of 23. Do you have that in your pocket?
Make a motion, we approve it.
Mr. Flint, do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Robinson, any discussion? If not, all those in favor of approving the registered deeds report for May 23, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay? I want to take the next two items together. They have both agreements around transportation services. Both agreements around transportation services. The first is with new direction, non-emergency management transportation. Second is with the Shoanoke Public Transportation Authority. I know Jonathan, County Attorney, you wanted to make one point about those two items.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. There's really a minor point, but I should point out that both of those two transportation contracts have 30-day unilateral termination provisions. It means that either party can terminate with 30 days written notice, just either side. The one on number four, the interim healthcare, has 90 days. And this is really just a preference question to the board. Legally, the contracts are fine. But so there's a difference there. It's a very short termination time frame for the two transportation contracts. And in those two contracts, there's also a provision, just for comparison. So you got 30 days termination. There's a 90-day company gap. Their costs have gone up, and they can ask for a higher rate, be paid. So they give 90 days written notice, and then it has to be by agreement of both parties to change that rate. So that's great. That's good and solid for the county. I just found it interesting that they have to give 90 days to work out a change in that, but they only have to give 30 days notice. Can't work something out. Then the county's on short notice, or it can, you know, renegotiate the terms with the transportation provider. So again, it's not unheard of to have a 30-day termination provision, but when you compare it to the 90-day change in terms, it just seems like, well, maybe they should both be 90. But it kind of depends, I guess, in the, sort of the practical comment, and I'll let the board discuss it, would be that if transportation companies are very plentiful, the county could say, well, no, we want a shorter time frame because, you know, we can always find somebody else if they want to go up on the rates. But if transportation contractors are not plentiful in Berkeley County, then the county might say, hey, we like this rate. We don't want them to just give us 30 days notice. We need a little more time, so we'll go with 60 or 90. So I just wanted to point that out to the board.
Well, that's the point. That's, yeah.
I think we need to go with 90 days for both parties. And,
Yes. I'll make the motion then that we approve
Mr. Chairman, point of clarity is this, the point of clarity is this, the company may not accept, they may not accept us changing their time, their window, and providing, you know, the notice of increase or decrease. I think we need maybe to taper that till we can reach back out to the provider, because
the rate
termination date 1/30/90.
Yeah, 1/30/90, but at the same time, 1/30 may need to contact them. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Right. So the early termination is only 30 days, whereas the on both, they have almost identical contracts. So I was pointing out that I thought 30.
Asking for 60.
Yes, yeah, so when it's 90 to change a basic term, then it's only 30 to terminate the entire contract. It just seems like a disparity. That's my point. Well, it depends on, I mean, you could approve this pending that change. But I mean, yeah, it's all. Yes, sir, they'll also have to agree to it. Correct.
So let's approve.
Yes, I would just like to say, board, if I would recommend that we prove it contingent upon making that change, and if for whatever reason they don't agree to that, then it's something that can come back before you. But if it's agreeable, we're able to go ahead and move forward July 1 in this contract.
All right.
Second.
Hey. Number four, the contractual agreement with interim healthcare or
I make a motion we move forward with the approval of the agreement.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Plus second.
There are three budget amendments in front of you, but two of them are, one of them is for a grant that was awarded to the co-op cooperative extension for $2,500 from the American Heart Association. They need that to they can start. They need your approval for that. The budget amendment for the emergency tower repairs is money we received from the insurance and the ambulance that we're using for to help the emergency tower repairs that we have to have done before July the 15th. And then the third one is additional funds that DSS has received, continuous coverage, unwinding funds, and gap hold harmless funds. They received this month, but they have to be held until next year. But we have to go ahead and put them in the record. So, need your approval on this.
I make a motion to approve the budget amendments.
Second.
Next, we're going to get into the agenda item B, the discussion of the application of the system. So this is probably we just get into any questions that the board might have, but not having it from the public,
Mr. Chair, I'd like the board to approve a lower cap than 15%, because 15% is a lot, a gap there where that decisions here is, maybe Ford County, man, won't be able to reach if it came to that. We had to find some other alternatives to make up the difference.
Let's see. Well, Juan, I know Juan did some research in that. Let me let Juan speak first, and then I'll back him up.
Okay. So there are two different procedures that a county can use in adopting a fire district, and the way that we chose was requires us to establish a cap of exactly 15 cents per general statute. The other procedure entails sending a notice to each property owner within in that tax district. So we didn't pass a resolution and adopt the rate or a cap of 15 cents. Then we'd have to send a notice to each property owner, again, in that district. So since we did not choose that procedure, again, general statute simply says you have to have a cap, and that cap has to be 15 cents.
Yeah, Mr. Manager, is it too late to send the Susan Bertie County letter?
Considering that we're planning to move forward July 1, yes, unfortunately.
Okay, how about doing the course between July 1 and the new fiscal year of 24?
If it's something that the board just wants to do, just to make them aware, that's something that, of course, can be done. But in terms of meeting its obligation for what's required according to general statute, that it's not net needed or net required.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. That's fine, because to have a cap, for the board here to establish a cap a lot lower than 15% would be a plus to the citizens of Bertie County. Because they don't need to be worried about, eventually maybe 15% versus, 8%.
Good evening to everyone. On May 22nd, as county manager, I presented a balanced budget and budget message to the Board of Commissioners, citizens, and taxpayers of Burchie County. That budget did not include an increase in the ad valorem property tax rate of 86.5 cents. However, I did propose and recommend the establishment of the Burchie County Fire Protection Service District with a tax rate of 3.762 cents. Significant expenditures in this recommended budget, including increasing the minimum pay for employees on the general Burchie County salary schedule to $11 an hour, which is equivalent to $21,450 annually. The cost of adjusting all grades on this schedule and alleviating compression is approximately $300,000 and included salary adjustments for 73 employees. Other significant expenditures included ambulances for EMS, an air compressor for fire departments, service for the sheriff's office and information technology, and an ATV and more for parks and recreation. On May 31st, the Board of Commissioners reviewed the recommended budget and made a few changes, including providing a $500 bonus to the 43 employees on the general Burchie County salary schedule who were not eligible to receive an increase based on years of service in their current position. On June 5th, a public hearing was held on the budget where several employees and citizens expressed concerns about the proposed budget. On June 7th, the Board of Commissioners reconvened to consider the feedback received during the public hearing. No decisions were made to further amend the budget during that meeting. At this point, clear direction is needed from the board on how the budget should be finalized so that a budget ordinance can be prepared and approved by June 30th, 2023.
Right. Thank you, County Manager Devine. Let me just kind of recap that a little bit. You know, we know things are going up. We did not originally want to raise ad valorem taxes, especially in a year that we're adding the fire tax, right? But at the same time, we wanted to raise the general schedule of employees because we had people who were making less than $11 an hour. And we wanted to bring them up to $11 an hour and the compression above them. So we have three salary scales. We have sheriff, we have the general scale, which most people are, and then we have EMS, those three different scales. So we felt like that was all we could do without raising taxes, right? But we came to the public hearing, and citizens loudly told us that they wanted us to roll up our sleeves and just try to do a little bit more work, and because they felt like they deserved more. We knew they did, right? We know how hard, you know, all of the employees in the county work. Sheriff and EMS, you guys do a tremendous job. The problem was with us was, how do we do it without adding a tax increase on top of the fire tax to citizens that we thought might be a little, you know, a little difficult. So I'm here to propose, and this is a proposal, a plan that will, I think, accomplish a couple of things. It will not raise taxes, but it will give us the funds to give an increase across the board to all of our citizens, all of our workers in the county. And here's the plan and how it would work, what I'm proposing to the board for discussion. We were looking for to be able to give a 3% across the board increase to all employees on top of those general who are getting brought up to $11. So this is 3% across the board to all of those who would apply. Now EMS is separate. They do not come into that general schedule, make that clear. So this would be the sheriff's department. This would also be all of the general to give them a 3% across the board increase. That's gonna cost us about $132,000 to do that, okay? Now, we also, because EMS is different, Mitch had proposed two different scales for us to adjust for EMS in the original budget. One was a larger step scale increase. We did not feel that we could absorb that. That was too big. But the other existing step system, we thought we could put in, which will give increases to those in EMS as well. And that's going to cost us $85,000. So if you say, now how are we going to pay for that, right? You got $132,000, you got $85,000. And we're also proposing a 2% increase for our Director of Emergency National Services, Ms. Cooper. So that's $218,500. How are we going to pay for that without raising taxes? We've asked EMS that we were going to give them two new trucks this year. Three. So one we're going to keep in because that's funded out of another source, not directly out of the regular tax base. But we'd like to defer, didn't say get rid of, defer the addition of those two trucks, right, until we're going to have a property sale in the county. We've been planning this since I became chair several months ago. We've looked at property that we're not using, property that we can dispose of and use those funds to help grow this county. So from that, we think we know we can raise more than the $232,000 that it would take to replace those two trucks. So we're asking EMS to defer those trucks for just a couple of months for us, right? The order of those trucks takes some time to get them, right, when you order them. But just defer that for a couple of months. Allow us have this property sale. We have several houses, you know, all kinds of things we're going to sell. And then we will replace those trucks to EMS, right? So I mean, I think that's a great gesture to be able to do that. We can't take the trucks away. We don't want to do that. We know they're needed. But if we can defer that just for a couple of months, we can give everybody a raise that I think they certainly deserve. 3% across the board, separate adjustment to the step scale for EMT. And that will cost us $218,000 of the $232,000, leaving us a difference of $13,500. But it actually does a little bit even more than that, because you know we were originally going to pay the bonuses out of ARPA dollars, which were outside of the budget. So now we can save that and use that for other county business to grow the county. So that's my recommendation, board members. I just want to put it out there and open it up for discussion and see if you think, what is your opinion?
Yes, Chairman. Good evening, sir. Everyone. I am in line with most of the proposal. I do, however, feel it necessary to make a public apology because of the fact that the last meeting we had, I was prepared to give these workers an increase almost regardless of what it took. But I was making my decision based on the facts that were presented. The facts that were presented was we had nowhere else to get it from.
That's right.
So it bothered me that after I put my neck out there, when I know tax increase is like curse words. But it bothered me when I put my neck out there that afterwards, we didn't really need the MS right now. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And even though, you know, all of this looks good, I just feel like it's important for all of our department heads that we all work to do everything we can for our employees and the citizens of the county. Because when we when the board has to make decisions based on what we're presented, and then later it can get altered, and we done made these gestures to the public. I mean, I don't like sitting in that seat.
Sure.
I'm just being honest.
That's okay. A point well taken. And I think that the key is sometimes that I'm going to just say this from EMS. These vehicles are needed. We know they're needed, but they are taking some bit of risk. Because if there was one of the vehicles to break down now, we would, you know, it would be difficult, right? So, but without finding something somewhere, the only alternative would have been to pass that on to citizens. And obviously, we didn't want to do that. Nobody wanted to do that, right? So I think we've all learned that in future, we need to just
work a little harder. I mean, we've gone 5 years without a tax increase. I don't know another county in this region that has gone 5 years without an ad valorem tax increase. 5 years. So I think we're being good stewards of the county money. We're trying our best. It's been tough for everybody with COVID and everything else. We have not raised taxes in 5 years. And we've still tried to find ways to give increases to people who work hard every day. So we're doing our best. But Commissioner Ballas makes a good point. We need to work a little bit harder, perhaps, to make sure that what we put before you is what is the best thing for you.
Yes. Well, I think to add to that is that Director Cooper of EMS came to this board and said to this board that these trucks will take 90 days to get, and we can only do one at a time. Is that not correct? We can only do one at a time. We got all three budgeted. One's coming from ARPA funds. The other two is coming from regular taxes that are coming out. Nobody on the board knew that at this time until Mr. Cooper brought that to everybody's attention a week after the fact. So it enabled us to be able to maneuver and go back and do the things that were needed to be done. Now, I'll tell you this. It's still kicking the can down the road. Okay, I want to be straight up with everybody. It's still kicking the can down the road. This is going to catch up with us. And Mr. Cooper's made a comment that he can keep these trucks rolling. Makes me nervous about this. I'll be quite frank with everybody, because we've got trucks that have 250,000 plus miles on them. We've got one truck that has just under 150,000 miles and another truck that has under 100,000 miles. So that's just two that are in those conditions. The balance is 250,000 plus miles on them. He's assured us of this. And we got over $600,000 worth of properties and they'll be selling. And again, as Chairman Weston says, that money will go back to fill that budget for the other two trucks. The one truck that is going to be purchased is coming out of ARPA funds, which was federal and state funds that were given to us during, I believe it was COVID, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. They could be used for this. But, Mr. Cooper, how many trucks are we running a day?
Four trucks.
Okay. Four trucks a day, right? Okay. So that tells us where we're sitting at. We're all in this together. Okay. I was a spokesperson for a tax increase. I still am, okay, because we're kicking the can down the road. Now, they won't push it on down the road another year, because everybody needs to understand, if we raise taxes, the money doesn't come in until January, February, March of next year, not this year. So now you're looking at 24, 25. Something's going to have to be done. We're not going to have this leverage or these options next year. And again, that's the reason I said we're kicking the can down the road. And if that's the case, and if that's the reason the board wants to go in that direction, then we'll go in that direction. But we all need to be cognizant of what we're dealing with. You know, I see some ex-military people in here. I think you know when you're dealing with obsolete equipment or equipment that has got enough wear and tear on it, it's in the back of your mind of what you've got to do and what you're going to do. Logistics is the most important thing that we have to deal with. We're large, one of the largest counties in the state of North Carolina, and we're in a situation where we have trucks that have more miles than what they're going to last eventually. So if we don't move forward in the very near future, and this board elects to go in this direction, then that's what we do. But I want it to be clear to everybody that is sitting in this audience, and for the ones who had not here tonight that were here last time, this is kicking the can. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. Mr. Cooper came to us, said he could do this. I got confidence in him. I got confidence in our EMS force. But I do know what logistics are. And I do know that we've got to have the right equipment to be able to do these logistics. And when the phone calls come because we've got trucks that are broke down and we can't get them moving, then we got an issue. okay? And it's going to come back and sit in other people's laps.
Thank you, John. And Commissioner Church, correct. This is a balance that we have to do. When you're from a low wealth county, right? We can't just push burden to citizens and say, just push it to the citizens, raise their taxes, pay for anything you want. We got to be responsible. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we pay employees and keep good people working for the county. We've got some great people in our sheriff department and EMS and just our general people work for. These folks work hard. And you know, our job is to try to make it work, right? But 5 years, there is no other county around us that has gone 5 years without a tax increase. Check it out. So we're going to have to sometimes bite the bullet going forward in order to make sure that we can do the things that we need to do, right? Okay, great.
All right. So we're there. I have a question.
Me. Yes.
Courtney or Juan. So the new starting salary is 11 or 1133?
Hiring rate of grade 54 is $11.
So we're going to give them a 3% cost of living. That's what I'm trying to figure out right here, because there's a 3% cost of living. So are you giving them $11? Or are you going to give them $11 and then a 3% cost of living? Because that messes up your whole budget right there, what you plan. So that's what I'm trying to. I don't agree with this. I have some personal issues why I don't agree with it. And I'll keep those quiet because they're just because. But that's my question. Is it $11 or $11.33?
Well, again, as Director Ward stated, the increase of the salary schedule is $11 for the hiring rate. However, in the past, we have given, and it still can be done now. I think Commissioner Vice Chair White, you are a proponent of increasing the, when you do a cost of living adjustment, you're a proponent of increasing the scale. However, taking it up to $11 is more than increasing it by 3%. So again, I propose moving forward with that, but it can be done if the board chooses to give 3% cost of living increase. It can be done with keeping the hiring rate $11.
And that was the key, I think, because we didn't want to go back and change what we'd already put in place to bring folks up to $11, but we wanted to be able to give the 3% increase on top of that. Because look what it affects. It affects folks who are the lowest paid employees. We didn't want to take that away and then say, we're going to give you 3%.
So this is the question then. So if they're hired, they're already starting, they've already been working, right? They're going to get $11.33 an hour because we're going to give them $11 and then the 3% cost of living. That's what's right here in this paper.
For people who are already employed.
Correct. Right. So that's what I'm saying. They're getting $11.33 an hour if this passes. Not what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Generally, when an employee is hired in their 9-month probationary period, if we have cost of living while they're in their probationary period, they would not receive cost of living.
These people are already applied. Corey works for y'all. He's your secretary. He makes $9.20 an hour. You're getting ready to boost his minimum pay up to what?
$11.
We're going to give a 3% cost of living increase, which is now what? $11.33. Okay? Because he already works here. This is my whole point. And like 3% cost of living should go. So if I start September of 2023, my starting pay is what?
According to the new pay plan proposal, it would be $11.
$11. So I'm already starting 33 cents an hour behind him when I'm. It's the base pay. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't ever increase base pay, you get to where we've been and we have just messed up all over again. Like, my whole goal is to fix missteps that we've had along the way.
Right.
So that's my question is, like, is it, if you did a 3% cost of living, what's the base pay going to be then?
So the cost of living would apply to current employees, and it wouldn't apply to base pay. And that's what you're saying you want to get away from.
It needs to affect the pay scale, because if you don't, then you hire people in 2023 on a 2007 pay.
Yeah.
And that's so you've never. Anyway.
Yeah. You make,
At the very first budget meeting we had, I brought that up, a cost of living increase. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And everybody was against it. They wanted to do the bonus, $500. Okay. And if you look at bonus, $500, we had 8% inflation for 2 years now. You turn around and look at Social Security's increased by 8%. Okay. And we have employees that need to be increased. And that's where we're at. We're in a catch 22 because of inflation. Everything costs more than what it did. And that's where we're at. That's the reason we had the cost of living increase and we could have made this thing work. Then we get into all these different type of deals that we were going to do. And now we're at now, as you're saying, Mike, okay, where we're at now.
But so. Let's not lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is we wanted to increase the salary of those who made $11 an hour. We have accomplished that. Mm-hmm. We wanted to add and make sure, because we were prepared to give no increase, zero. And now we found a way to give 3% across the board and to adjust the salary scale in EMS without raising taxes to citizens. That's the big win. But Commissioner's right. White is right. We've got to do the fine tuning when we do this going forward. It's important. You can't imagine how long it took us to go through the $11 an hour and deal with the compression around that $11 an hour. We couldn't just get, we had to make, if you bring everybody else up and you don't raise everybody else who's above them or a little above $11, you haven't done much, right? So we did that. We did it the right way. And we've got to continue to try to work. Then that's your point. And it makes sense.
Okay. So let me say one more thing. What EMS has done correct is have a step schedule.
Yes. True. Like,
that is the one thing that I can guarantee is correct. The fact that we don't give other employees steps and try to reward their years of experience is a shame. And so, like, that's why, like, I do have some issues. And
since you brought that up, the step schedule, the one that Mitch Cooper had put together, correct? Okay.
Sure. I mean, I don't know who put it together. It's right here.
Okay. Mitch, yours was a step schedule, correct? Okay. I would never saw that at a budget meeting.
No, we didn't do it.
I know, because we never saw it. It never was brought before the county commissioners just to look at.
Yeah, right. That's correct. Because the way the process works is department heads make a request to the county manager. Mitch presented two alternatives for it, right? One, I understood it. But the county manager described.
The first budget meeting we had, we did not have that paperwork in front of us.
No, but I have talked about a step schedule since January when I started. Right. Now that, you can go back and look at records. I have talked about a step schedule because when we get here, and I'm looking at LaShonda, who has been here 25 years. I know you hadn't, but as an example, 25 years, and we're still paying her on her starting pay scale and just giving cost of livings is a shame. Like, that's why we have people making 20-some thousand. And I apologize to EMS and to sheriffs because you're going to be mad at the next thing I say. But that is why I try to focus on the money on the people who are still making 20-some thousand dollars in a county that we can do better than that.
Sure. Right. But the key is, right, that's exactly what we're going to have to migrate to. But we can't do that overnight because of the cost of it. We looked at it. We had great debate. Doing that across the board at everybody, it was going to cost us more money than we ever could have done. So right. We have to take it in chunks. It's not that we can't do it or that we don't want to do it. We just can't absorb it at once. But Mike is right. We will get there. And this is one step getting us towards that.
Well, my question, Ms. Personnel, do we have a step schedule in place now for all the employees?
No.
Are we working towards that?
So that is something that was presented. We right. During our meetings that we had several meetings where we talked about increasing, improving this salary schedule for your employees and transitioning to a step system. Mm-hmm. But because it was so costly, it wasn't ideal for us to include that on top of the salary adjustment. So yes, it is something that we've considered, something that we would like to recommend, but there's just not enough funds to do it all in one
year. It would have cost us $1 million.
Right.
Correct.
And the fact that we do have an HR, but true professional here, so to be doctor.
Yeah, my for the audience and the listeners, I brought to the commission board here that I was asking for $15 an hour starting pay because I felt like being a county employee, a person should at least make $15 minimum, but we couldn't afford that. But it's a lot better than $11, a lot better than $8 and $9 an hour. So, you know, we do have a start, and we need to take that start and increase that start to better pay for county employees.
And to get back on the even keel, we are where we're at now. And again, as I said, what the future brings us, we're going to have to deal with. And I've been very open and honest with every citizen that came before us. What is going to have to happen, one way or the other, to be able to keep this organization moving? And great, that's where it's at.
So, with that, thank you, board. If there's no
further discussion,
I would like, we will need a vote here. This is not a vote on approving the budget. This is a vote on moving so that the county manager can adopt the budget ordinance in agreement with what we just recommended, which is 3% across the board, scale, and EMS. So what is your pleasure? I hear a motion.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, sir, sure.
Okay, on the increase to the EMS pay scale?
Yes.
That's everybody included on the EMS, am I correct?
No, some of the people like the administrative staff, they're on the 3%. They're on the general schedule. This is all the other people like the MTs and people like that who get their raise.
Okay.
Because right, they don't get the 3%. The regular EMTs don't get that.
Okay.
He would.
That's yes.
Question.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay. So that would, I mean, according to this, I'm just making sure I'm looking at it right.
Sure.
So that would kind of, it looks like, you know, someone could possibly get a 5% increase.
Yes. The recommendation here, let's be clear. My recommendation is, it says, is that 3% after everybody else other than the EMTs. The EMTs and EMS, rather, non-management, will get that same pay scale, the same step scale increases. That will cost $85,000. I'm also recommending a 2% additional, like it says, additional increase to Mitch. He would be the only person who would get in this department more than the 3% who's on that general scale. Rest of us will get 2%. That'd be $1,500 additional to him from 3 to 5. That's the recommendation.
Any other directors making an additional 2%?
Not to my knowledge.
All right. Just clarification for me.
You're looking for a motion, Mr. Chairman? Yeah. And again, I've said all I need to say about this, but I'll make a motion to move forward with these changes and how we're going to go about to get this money and what direction we're going to go in to reimburse EMS for these trucks with the sale of properties. And that's where we're going.
Great.
Question on the floor. There's still a question on the floor. So like all the directors, you know, the 2% ain't a lot of money. Ain't a lot of money, but all the directors need to be included.
Well, we can't do it. It would break the budget. We don't have the money. We'd have to raise it someplace else. We'd have to cut someplace else. That's what we looked at.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Okay. But the reason that I've suggested it to Mitch is because his department is taking the cut.
Question, Mr. Chair. What do you recommend, manager? He works under your supervision.
Okay.
Go to him. He doesn't have a...
So, Director Cooper does an excellent job, of course, as do all of the department heads in Bertie County. So, to be fair, unless there's a justifiable reason to single out one department head, I propose that all department heads are treated the same, treated fairly. And if an additional increase is going to be given because of a good job or something like that, which I don't recommend, then it should be extended to everyone.
Right,
is my recommendation.
My question to that is, does that mean that he's going to start receiving time and a half since you have other managers who are getting time and a half?
No, the board has other managers getting time and a half, not the manager.
Oh, they work for you, sir.
They do, but they sure, get it because
put a runner here. There's a motion on the floor to approve this as presented with, as we said, there's a motion. I will second that motion. Commissioner Tripp made the motion. I'll second it. We've got to get beyond the petty stuff here, guys. And if we want, when the leader gives up something in his department that can benefit everybody else in the county government, to me, that's leadership. And we ought to recognize leadership. And if we had enough money to give everybody that raise, I'd be the first one to say it. But we don't.
So let me ask this question since you did that. When y'all called Mitch in to have a conversation with him, did you call Donna? Did you call every other person to ask that?
We did. So, we not even talked to Mitch about this. His option was... If you let me speak, I'll finish this.
Okay. All right.
We brought him in because we were looking for an alternative, not to make any raise. He requested a much larger raise, That was in his budget. It was not given because we were not giving anybody anything. The suggestion of this 2% came directly from me, not from anybody else. That was my request.
But that's not my statement. My statement was, did y'all call any other directors in when y'all called him in to discuss?
Yeah, we called the sheriff because we knew that those are the two people that we thought might be able to give up some money out of their budget. We didn't want to take it from anybody else's budget. We were looking to try to cut bodies. We talked to the sheriff about it. We talked to Mitch about it. Those are the two we thought, and again, this was discussion, logical places to get enough money to be able to give everybody an increase. I can't take enough money from Register of Deeds office or recreation to give everybody a 3% increase. Doesn't exist.
Let me ask you, Mr. Chair. They call the manager in. He's the person that's supposed to be leading the county. Was with the manager in the meeting? You brought Mitch in?
Yes, sir. Chairman, I have to correct you there. Just to be transparent. You all met with the sheriff and Mitch while I was not present. You all called me in at the end to let me know what was discussed.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing has been done behind the scenes. To be honest,
Mr. Chairman, anytime you hold a meeting, you got to give the manager enough respect because of his position.
What are you talking about? We called him after the meeting to make sure.
You need to call him after the deal done been made. You need to call the manager in the meeting at the very beginning. You got to give the manager that much respect because of this job.
Mr. Robinson, there's no deal made. The deal is made if we vote for it. If you don't like it, don't vote for it. There's no deal. What deal? There's no deal. This is a proposal. You can say no to the proposal if you don't like it. There's no deal here. If you don't like it, raise taxes. That was what was on the table before.
Was tripping.
I'm just saying, there's no.
I don't want to raise taxes, but I can pay my taxes.
Well, what does that have to do with the fact this is a proposal?
Okay.
This is not running anything in anybody. If you don't like it, don't vote for it. That's pretty simple. So anyway, getting back to where we were, there is a motion on the floor. It has been seconded. All those in favor of being able to give a 3% across the board increase to all employees other than EMS, raising EMS on their step scale and giving Mitch Cooper a 2% increase in top of his 3, which is $1,500, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's raise your hand. All those in favor, raise your hand. Okay. All those opposed? Okay, then there's no increase, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
So far. Okay.
Is that the only thing that's going to be proposed? Because I proposed a plan, mine is the 2% increase.
Oh, make it. You have to do it. Yes, okay. That's good.
I'll give you the old 5 back. You're my folks.
See, that's leadership. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
That's leadership.
That's right. Hey, we're just giving them a 2% because it.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
That, Mitch, we gave the plan just as he asked for it. The only 2% was, I thought, because of recognizing just what you said, that leadership. But if we don't want to give him that, that's fine with me. Make another motion and let's vote.
It's not that I don't want, I like him. He does a great job. But it's still only, we have to be fair to all department heads.
So make the motion.
I make the motion that we accept the proposal you gave minus Mitch Cooper's 2% increase on top.
Great. That's on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of approving it without the 2%, Mitch will still get the regular 3%. Is everybody please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay? Ayes have it. Done deal. Thank you.
So wasn't it?
Yes, Chairman, if I can just for a point of clarity, because just so everyone is on the same page and understand exactly what was passed. So Director Cooper requested increases for EMS with a step system of changing. His current step system is every 5 years, 3%. And he was proposing going from that to every 2 years, 2%, correct? And so a cost was given to you for both.
Yeah.
And what you just passed was for $85,000, which right. was keeping the same, not changing from five every three to 2% every two. So I just want to make that clear. So the increases were approved, but it's using the same step system that is in place now.
That is correct.
Just want to make it clear.
That is correct.
Also make clear. Mitch is still getting an increase.
Correct. Like Mitch, Director Cooper is on the general salary schedule, and as the board just approved, right. he will also receive a 3% cost.
Right. Okay. Right. So we've approved it. Look, I think as a board, we need to understand this. When a proposal is made, it's a proposal. And if you don't like the proposal, then make a new proposal. And we vote. Shouldn't be a condemnation. Everybody has a right to their opinion. And if you don't like one opinion, you can then make another. And we vote. And we did that. So I'm good with it. I'm good with it. All right. There we are. Now, let's go on, if you will. We need to confirm a date specific so that we can, in fact, approve the budget. What we just voted was to give Juan the authority to do the budget amendment.
So the board just gave us some direction on how to amend the proposed budget so that the budget ordinance can be created. Yes. So what we'll need now is to recess this meeting. We will go make the changes and we will create the budget ordinance, which will then have to be adopted by the board before June 30th.
You want that date?
Yes,
now.
Please.
So if we could please check our calendars for date. It should be a relatively short session unless something else comes up. In order, do you have any suggestions?
How does early next week work for everyone, Monday or Tuesday?
I cannot do Monday. I can do Tuesday. I can do Wednesday, but I cannot do Monday.
Okay. That date on Tuesday would be the 27th. Is that correct?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay. If you can't do Monday, is everybody good with Tuesday?
Tuesday, what time?
What's
your pleasure? Early?
We're okay doing it between working hours, 8:30 and 5, or do you require?
No, let's do it at 9 a.m.
Okay.
9 o'clock. That's good. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, Commissioner's room.
Right.
All right. Right. Everybody good?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was Tuesday, June 27th, 9 o'clock a.m. And we'll be back in the Commissioner's room.
Okay. Great. All right. Now, also, on the discussion agenda, this is more just for reference. We have an upcoming meeting on July 14th. It's the Mayor's and Commissioner's Dinner. That's in Orlando this quarter, right? So just making sure everybody, we want to always have real good turnout for that. So mark that on your calendar, July 14th. We don't need to approve that, do we? That's already? Okay, great. Also, we're having the NACO Conference, National Association of Counties.
Excuse me. For some reason, I had the 13th. Instead of the 14th. The 14th is a Friday. Isn't it normally a Thursday night?
Typically, yeah.
Okay, it's a 13th.
13th? Okay, great. Good. Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Great. Great catch. Okay, so the 13th at 7 o'clock in Orlando. Okay. Now, also on July 21st to 24th, we have the National Association of Counties annual meetings when they bring together county commissioners from all over the U.S. Usually as chairman, I was going to be the voting delegate. I'm not going to be able to be there. My wife is having hip replacement. So Commissioner Ron Robinson is going to represent us as our voting delegate. Great meeting in Austin, Texas. So thank you for allowing us to be able to go. Okay. Anything else in discussion on the agenda? That's the last item. So the next thing we have is commissioner's reports. Start with Commissioner Ballard. Start on this end.
None at this time.
Okay. Commissioner White.
None.
Okay. Trent?
I have none.
Commissioner Robinson?
None.
One little thing. We, on the 29th of this month, which is Thursday, we will have the groundbreaking for our new teacher state and local county housing complex. Been working on this thing since 2017, but we finally have it financed. And so we will be building on that site. If you go out past the hospital, right at the corner of Martin Luther King and South King Street, right there, we own that 6 acres of land. We'll be building 24 two-bedroom, two-bath apartment complexes, primarily for teachers to start, but it also eventually, if we can't fill with teachers, will be available for state, local, county employees. That could be sheriff, could be EMS, it could be anybody who works for the county, town. So this is a big win for us. This will be the first apartment complex in this town. So we hope it'll help us attract teachers, best and brightest, and keep teachers here. That's why we've been working on it so hard to get it done. And we're getting this financed at 0% interest, 15 years through the State Employees Credit Union Foundation. We will be the 6th in the state of North Carolina to do this. And it's going to be really, really pretty. You're going to be impressed. It's going to be really, really nice. So that's the only thing that I have. County manager?
No reports tonight.
Okay. And county attorney? Okay. Great. So now, as I said at the beginning, we have a public comment section at the end. Right. So any comments from any citizen like to come before us and express anything, the podium is yours. Name, address, and limit it to 3 minutes. Yes, sir. Please come forward. Yeah, Dr. Collier. Dr. Collier, please come on up, sir. Yeah.
I'm Nayland Collier. Retired doctor of veterinary medicine. I'm a dual citizen of both Mississippi and North Carolina. I lived here for the last, since 1984, but originally from Mississippi, still a landowner in Mississippi. Mississippi has probably the lowest taxes of anyone. And it is a disaster for the ordinary citizen. The taxes were set up so the big time farmers and the plantation owners wouldn't have to pay but a few cents taxes. It does not do the citizens of Mississippi any good. Let's say you buy a new Lexus for $85,000, or maybe $50,000. Your license plate sticker is going to cost you $4,000. When I retired, they asked me, are you going back to Mississippi? Excuse my French. And I told them, hell no. I think my license plate is a little bit over $30 or whatever with taxes. If I went to Mississippi, that would probably cost me $900 every year. What I'm saying is we have to move forward. If it's 1 or 2 cents or whatever, raise the taxes. We don't want to be. I was on the dog track in South Dakota. I'm going to cut it off. I asked a young man from New Hampshire if he was coming back the next year for the dog racing and the horse raising season. He was a dog trainer. And after the expletives, he got back to me and told me the reason, the only reason he would return to South Dakota, Sioux City, Iowa, if the world was coming to an end. He said it would take them 6 months to hear about it and another 6 months to follow suit. We don't need to be in that type of situation. I know they are anti-taxes. We vaccinated for coronavirus, 1981, Pontotoc, Mississippi. The reason the animal kingdom does not have COVID, because every time you take your animals in, there is the coronavirus component in the upper respiratory vaccine. Anytime a dog, a cat, a lion had COVID, it came from us, the anti-vaxxers. I don't know if it makes sense, but we don't need to be like Mississippi. That's my home. I was just there. It's still the poorest state in the country, maybe even the world, except India, because their taxes are non-existent. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
I don't need a mic. It's pretty loud anyway. But I know y'all voted on Mitch about 3%, but I really need for y'all to go back and readjust his scale, because if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be here. He deserves his bonus. Or his space scale, or whatever you do. Y'all need to look at that, because every one of y'all looked at him tonight and said, is that right, Mitch? Is that right? Everyone here. Everyone looked at him, because he knows what he's doing, and he fights for us, and he deserves that 3%, but you need to go back and make sure you give more than that, because he deserves that. Because if you're going to give it to the department heads that don't come to a storm, I don't see none of the department heads at a storm. I didn't see none of the department heads at COVID clinics. I saw Mitch there. So you need to rephrase how, who gets what. I don't care. 3% is correct for everybody, but you need to give him more, because he deserves more. That's all I got to say.
Well, I bet you're about to see me again.
Let me get my time already.
Don't start the clock. Thank y'all for letting us speak. I want to remind you, the people here last hour were loud and clear. None of us likes taxes. Nobody likes it. I don't like it. But if we don't start paying some taxes to take care of these people, they're going to be gone. Simple. You can do whatever you want to, but it's simple. It's time for us to quit being the dog chasing its tail, and let's get ahead of it. Because right now, all we're doing is chasing the tail round and round and round, and we're looking like a bunch of idiots to all the counties around us, and we're losing our best people.
Yep.
We talk about speculation. We're going to get this. We're going to get this. And we hope this. Well, let me give you some real speculation. Enough of these people leave. I done broke something already. Enough of these people leave. The state's going to send a strike team in to take over our EMS service to supplement us. I want to see you write that check for $1,000 an hour, because that's approximately the cost of it.
$24,000 a day
for the state to come in and run our services. If they don't deserve to keep the state out of here, let's pack up, build a fence around this county, burn it down, and let's go somewhere where people want to be a little progressive and take care of each other, because we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And if we don't start doing it, we're going to lose a lot of good people. We already losing them, dust office, EMS. And if I was still running EMS on a truck, I would quit with an hour.
Y'all have a good evening.
All right. Okay. If that's it for public comments, then we do have. Excuse me. Yes. Yes, please.
And it's from Angela Cobb with BSS. And she says, I work at BSS. If my I pay more to show my year's work, I make the same as everyone else.
But is that across the board, right? The DSS? The answer to that question is are they getting their raise in DSS, 3%?
Yes. Some DSS employees will receive increases, again, based on the number of years that they were in the position in accordance with the new minimums and higher, you know, for each grade. But DSS was also included in the 3% as well.
So that is the answer. Her answer is yes. Top, you will.
Yes. However, if she was, she may have been referring to the question or concern about the step system, and we do not have that in place for anyone besides EMS. However, we are working and hoping to get that in place one day.
Right. And please understand it, but you know, we can't get there overnight. We're working as hard as we can to try to get there, you know, to do it right. So we're going to continue to do that. Continue to do it. Yeah. Right. And then, yes.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening.
I'm Chris Corden. I'm the mayor of the big city of Lewis and Woodville. And I always say that because I look forward to the vision of it being there. But again, I want to just say to when it comes to increasing taxes, if it needs to be, as the gentleman said, we need to do what it takes to make sure we have a fair community. We are all a part of this community and everybody wants to be treated fair. I know that as the EMTs and the Sheriff's Department, I've seen them during the hurricane. I've seen them during the flood. I haven't seen any of you all at night when the storms are raging and the wind is blowing and they're bundled down at that office in the Sheriff's Department, praying for their life, but ready to work and go into action mode as soon as something hits, they are there. So I know that I've been on the phone praying with them at night because they are afraid, because they have to go out there not knowing what they're going to face. So when you look at what's going on, then you need to be fair about that. Do you want them to stay home when the tornado or when the fire comes or when someone is breaking into your home? No, you don't want that to happen. You want somebody to be on point, energized and ready to go to work. And you've seen them in action. They're not lazy. They are people who are ready to in action to work. Some of you are saying, I know we have to do what we have to do, but then you need to consider these men and women, what they do for the protection of our community. You are in your house, in your bed, nice and warm. They're out in the mud and in the dirt and in the wind and in the rain. So why don't you just look at all of that? That's all I got to say. Just look at the whole picture, not just where the money coming from. I know you have to make a balanced budget, but you also got to keep people in place so you can have a balanced budget, because if they're not here, they're going to be somewhere else working. And we need everybody we can to stay in Bertie County, but be treated fairly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. All
right. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We do have a closed session. So we'd like to make about take floors open for a motion to go into closed session.
Make a motion, we'll go into closed session.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Been moved and properly second. We'll go into closed session. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. We're going into closed session. Thank you. Joe, could you put everybody in the holding pattern for us, please? Thank you. Any other general discussion or information to share?
No.
Having none, a motion to close. Motion to recess until the Tuesday, the 27th at 9 o'clock.
I make a motion we recess to the 27th
at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
Okay. It's been moved and probably second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Nay.
Let's have it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I was waiting. I was going to beat you.